Hello, welcome to the Diz Dads Podcast, Midweek Destinations and Diversions Show. It's the Dad Show, your hump day Disney vacation fix. The Dad Show is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is Orlando's premium stroller and crib rental vendor. Why pay more for a less comfortable, less versatile stroller in the theme parks? Make your reservation at kingdomstrollers.com. You'll pay less for the rental, and they'll deliver the stroller of your choice to your resort and pick it up from the resort at the end of your vacation for free. Kingdom Strollers, your first choice for Orlando stroller rentals. Show, I'll be talking with Tony McDaniel about his Walt Disney World vacation at Caribbean Beach Resort with his family, his wife, and two children, 9 and 7. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Aaron.
Glad you're able to make it. So you're here tonight to talk to us about a family trip that you took to Walt Disney World. Wife, two kids, and you spent 4 days, 3 nights at the Caribbean Beach Resort. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So tell us a little bit first about sort of the planning stages of this trip. How did you decide to put this one together?
Well, we had made several trips in the past. Our first trip together was in 1996 on our honeymoon. That was just a one-day thing. And that was only because we got free tickets from our aunt for a wedding present. So that was a nice bonus. Wasn't even planned initially. And then we went in 2005, and then again in 2010, and stayed at the Treehouse Villas at Saratoga Springs Resort. But this was the first trip that we had planned on our own. Other trips had been with our extended family. We took our tax refund this year, and we ended up doing Caribbean Beach Resort. And we got the pirate-themed room there. And thankfully, at the same time that we booked was when they offered a 20% room discount. So that helped a little bit.
Nice, nice.
And, yeah. And after that, the wife, actually, she did most of the planning for this. She went crazy doing research and reading blogs and Disney moms, all of their things that she's been reading.
Sure.
And from there, we went and made our ADRs. We did the dining plan, which was the easiest thing for us. So we didn't have that additional stress and worry on the budget when we got to the park.
Sure.
But it's one we had been talking about for a couple years and finally decided to pull the trigger, and we booked the trip.
And what time of year was it when you took this trip?
We went as soon as my wife, who's a teacher, and my kids were on spring break. We went to Lakeland, Florida first to visit a friend, and then we checked in at Disney on April 2nd is when we checked into our hotel.
Okay, so beginning of April, you said you stayed at the pirate-themed rooms. What did you think of the pirate rooms?
They were really neat. My son is 7, and he was really into it. And my daughter, who's 9, she thought it was pretty neat as well. You know, we have pictures of them, you know, playing with the pirate's wheel and everything. And they enjoyed that and the decor, the big between the bedroom area and the bathroom area, there's like a curtain that pulls back. It has the big Pirates logo from Pirates of the Caribbean on there, and you know that was kind of neat. But they liked the room, and it was a waterfront room also with the water view of the lake out there, and you know that was really nice as well. But I'll be honest, the thing that impressed me the most was my first impression of Caribbean Beach was we did the online check-in.
Right.
And we got to Caribbean Beach at 9:30, and I was expecting just to go in and get checked in and then say, okay, well, your room will be ready at 3 o'clock. But at 9:30, our room was ready for us to put our luggage and everything into.
Oh, nice.
And we got in. It was the check-in process was fast, and they treated our kids great. They gave my son like an eye patch, pirate patch, and gave my daughter a magic wand. And the room was as advertised, and the kids loved it, and we loved it too.
So what do you think the kids' favorite thing about the pirate room was?
I think it was the decor of the room with the pirate's mast and the sails above the bed frame. They liked that. And my son also, he kept on going over to where the mini fridge was, which is actually inside of a barrel. He would open that up all the time and get, you know, just to get drinks. But he thought that was kind of neat that it was like, right. Like the refrigerator was hidden inside of that barrel.
Right, right. You had four park days planned. Yes. What did you do on that first park day?
When we first got there, we immediately, after we got checked in and the wife got pictures of the room out of the way before the kids trashed it, we got on the shuttle and went over to Downtown Disney first. And the kids, they wanted snacks, so they went to Goofy's Candy Shop. And we went through the where the shops are. We didn't make over to the west side where all the activities were. But sure. I was trying to... I was going commando on this one and rushing everybody through the stores and trying to get out of there so we could get to Epcot. But in getting to Epcot, we decided to do something a little bit different though. We took a bus and went to Swan and Dolphin Resort and walked through there. Right. And then we walked out to the pier over at Beach Club, I believe it was, and took the boat over to Epcot through the International Gateway.
Oh, nice, yeah.
And, which I didn't even know that existed because this is really our first trip to plan, but the wife had done all the research, and she knew about this area, and she knew about the boats and everything over there.
Yeah, it's a nice kind of quick access to the World Showcase side of the park and keeps you from having to walk all the way through from the front.
Right, Aaron, it blew me away right away, and I was kind of blown away at how fast we got through as opposed to what I was expecting coming through the main entrances into the parks. We got through very quickly, got our bag checked, and as soon as we got in, one thing that the wife had done the research on was about the Kidcot areas in the World Showcase. So she went and she bought some passports at one of the shops there, and the kids got most of the countries at Epcot, but just because of time limitations and me being commando dad trying to get to the rides and everything, they didn't get to all of them. But you know, there's always the next trip on that.
Sure. So they used the passports, got the stamps and the cast member autograph, that kind of thing.
Yes. And while we were in France, the wife stopped and she got her snack at, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, Le Hall de Boulangerie and Patisserie or something like that.
Nicely done. That wasn't bad at all.
I took French, I think, actually in sixth grade, now that I think about it. But one of the rides, there were two attractions in particular I was wanting to hit, and that was Test Track and Soarin'.
Sure.
And by the time we got there after spending, the first part of the day at Downtown Disney Test Track, there were no Fast Passes available. It was spring break week, and it was busy. And Soarin', we couldn't get on until like 9 o'clock at night.
So was it, you had to kind of shuffle your plan a little bit. What did you come up with at that point?
Well, we went ahead and spent the first part of the day that we were there in the World Pavilion because we had a ADR at 5:30 at Beer Garden. But one thing that I learned through my wife's research and being there and walking around is I never knew that that some of the countries had rides in them, the pavilions. Because honestly, and I forgot to mention, this was actually my second time in Epcot, and the first time was only for about 4 hours. On a previous visit. So this was like my first.
So this is your first full day exposure.
A lot of this was new to me. So, like the Maelstrom ride in Norway and the Grand Fiesta Tour in Mexico, never knew they existed until this trip.
Well, then I have to share with you my favorite tip for Grand Fiesta Tour. Next time you're there, if you didn't know this already, it's the only ride at Walt Disney World that I know of that they'll allow you to bring a drink on with you. So you can stop at La Cava del Tequila.
Heck yeah.
Have them make you a margarita. Take your margarita over to Gran Fiesta and enjoy the boat ride through Mexico with your margarita in hand.
I will keep that in mind for the next trip. That's for sure. I had no idea that you could take drinks on there. Well, it would kind of make sense with the San Angel Mexican restaurant that, you know, it kind of goes around and yep. The Cava Tequila right there. I guess it does make sense. Never knew that.
Yeah. So, all right. So you got to check out the attractions in World Showcase that you didn't really know about. Right. The kids got to explore a little bit in World Showcase, getting their passport stamped. For that part of the day where you were in World Showcase, so, and before we even get to dinner at Beer Garden, which is its own discussion,
heck yeah. What
do you think was sort of the family highlight for that first part of the day there at Epcot?
Well, my wife would probably say that it was her eclair that she had from the Les Halles de Lingerie de Patisserie. For me, it was just I was just kind of amazed by some of the architecture of each individual pavilion, whether it was the pyramid in Mexico or the grass thatched roof. I believe it was over in Norway.
Yeah.
You know, just some of the architecture is what impressed me, because our previous trip there, we just kind of breezed through and I didn't pay a whole lot of attention to some of the things around me. And, you know, in the next trip, you know, I've learned a lot more since we've been back from this trip. And I know, you know, other things to look for on our next trip to Disney.
Sure, sure. Okay, so then you had your ADR at Beer Garden. What did you think of Beer Garden?
Well, it was by far my favorite dining experience on this trip to Disney, and actually was probably my favorite of any place of my previous ones from other visits. The food was great, and the entertainment was excellent to go with us. We were seated with another family due to the table sizes there, but we were right on the front row by the stage with the band up there playing and doing, you know, Einprozit and everything. And it was a good time, and, you know, had a couple good beers there. And I can't even count how much bratwurst and spätzle I had while I was there that night. It was delicious.
Yeah, and the kids didn't have any problem finding things they enjoyed?
They love bratwurst.
Oh, okay, good.
We grill bratwurst regularly here, so.
Excellent.
They did good.
All right, so you had a few hours after dinner. What was your goal for the evening part?
Well, I was hoping to see Illuminations, but due to our fast pass for Soarin', we missed it this time around, which we saw it on a previous visit. But I was hoping for the kids to get to see it this time, because this is their first visit to Epcot. It was a extra magic hour night there, and We got to ride Land, we got to ride Soarin', then we rode the Nemo ride as well, and we rode Mission Space, and my daughter talked me into doing the Orange Line on Mission Space.
I was in a similar position right back in January. I rode Orange with my daughter.
That one about did me, and that was the last thing we rode that night before we left the park.
I will hand it to you. I did it, but I didn't do it after dinner at Beer Garden.
Well, I'd had a couple hours to settle after that for my stomach to settle. But
okay.
But we were doing some of the more light-duty rides after dinner, actually. And we went over to the Club Cool, and for some reason, my kids drink Beverly, and I didn't stop them.
Did you have your camera ready?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no.
But next time. I know more about it now. So, yeah, it's going to be a whole different world for them on the next trip.
There you go. So, you know, the thing that I think that is a good takeaway from this is that, you know, even during a busy crowd level time and a day where you didn't hit a park at rope drop and you didn't get, you know, into your touring of Epcot until after 11 o'clock, you still were able to appreciate, you know, a good chunk of the park. You really got to explore World Showcase pretty thoroughly. And although you didn't get to hit all of Epcot's headliners, you did still get to use a Soarin' Fast Pass, so you didn't wait in that hour-long line. And you hit most of the other big attractions at Epcot.
Yeah, I think what would kind of helped out was having the extra magic hours that night.
Right.
And let's get a couple extra things in that we normally, you know, probably wouldn't have had time to. A couple of the things that we didn't get to do that I wanted to do was the test track, obviously. But I think when we were there the last time, it was Kim Possible, but now it's something for Perry Phineas and Ferb.
The Agent P adventure.
Yeah, that's it. And the kids were kind of wanting to do that, but, you know, being commando and everything, we didn't take the half an hour or so that they wanted to do that.
Right.
But, you know, I kind of thought, you know, Epcot going in, Epcot was maybe a half day park or a three quarters day park. And I was wrong. I think it's potentially, you know, nothing, no potential. It's a 2 day park.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well. I think that to do it right, Epcot's a 2 day park.
Yep.
All right. So you had a pretty long night there because, you know, extra magic hours night at Epcot usually means the park closes, what, about 11?
11 o'clock, that's correct. We were there until about 10:45, and then we caught the bus back over to back to Caribbean Beach after that.
Okay. So you had a late night. What was your next morning?
Well, the next day was Wednesday, and that was Magic Kingdom Day. And we went to we got a late start. We were all kind of beat, I believe.
Yeah.
I was up around 6. I'm a morning person, and I don't sleep much past that, even on the weekends.
Sure.
But the wife and kids, they slept. I think we finally rolled out and finished with breakfast. We went to the food court at the Caribbean Beach Resort, and there were a lot of different options there. And we just ended up getting, it was like a breakfast burrito or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And, we got over to, the Magic Kingdom probably around 10:30 in that range. And so we got a little bit of late. We didn't make a rope drop to that or any of the parks this time, but that'll change on our next trip.
That's all right. You know, best laid plans sometimes. I got to say, when you're at Epcot until 11, rope drop the next morning is a challenge.
It did, yeah.
Okay, so you get to Magic Kingdom around 10:30. What was your kind of goal for the day at Magic Kingdom? And maybe talk about a few of the highlights of what you actually accomplished.
Okay. Well, our goal on Wednesday was we had our ADRs. We had one that night. For Crystal Palace. We had also made one for later in the week on Friday at Tusker House for breakfast at Animal Kingdom. And whether we kept that ADR or not depended on how much of the park we got through that day.
Oh, okay. Your contingency plan was to come back to Magic Kingdom instead of Animal Kingdom later in the week.
If we could get through Magic Kingdom in one day, we would, because we were leaving on that Friday.
Right.
But we didn't make it. We went over to Tomorrowland first, and we didn't make it past Fantasyland. And we were there long enough to watch the Main Street Electrical Parade that night.
Okay.
And we only made it through two of the worlds. We never made it to Frontierland, Adventureland. It was very busy. The kids were having fun in the other lands over there. So I didn't rush them out of those two areas of the park.
Sure.
So we ended up canceling the ADR and went back to Magic Kingdom on Friday as well.
Okay. Well, let's before we get away from Wednesday, what were the highlights of Magic Kingdom on Wednesday?
Well, it was my son. It was his first time riding Space Mountain, and he loved it. My daughter rode it with me a few years back, and it was as fun as she remembered. But the biggest highlight of the day for me was actually lunch. The wife had decided to try to get in line for Be Our Guest at lunchtime, and I'd heard stories of hour and a half waits or longer at lunchtime, because at lunchtime, as you know, it's a quick service.
Right.
Or counter service, not a table service. And we walked up there in line. It was around 12:30, and by 12:45, we were inside and at the kiosk ordering.
Wow!
Yeah, it really surprised me. It was incredible. The food, you know, everybody's used to, you know, going to over to Casey's and getting a hot dog and a hamburger or something like that. But to sit down with, you know, actual plates and silverware at a nice table at lunch in a quick service was a very good thing for us. We really enjoyed that.
And any highlights of the food?
The food itself was very good. I believe I had a pot roast or something like that. I can't remember exactly. But the dessert, it was something that you would have found at a table service meal. I'm not sure if you've been there at lunch or not. But it was presented so nicely. It was almost too pretty to eat. My wife, she took pictures of everything, and I wish I had her camera down here or you know, with all of her pictures she took, so I could describe just some of the things that the way that it was presented to us at lunch. It was just very visually pleasing and good too, for that matter. Almost too good to eat, actually.
Yeah, you know, it is nice that you get a counter service dessert that, you know, doesn't look like a pudding cup from the grocery store.
Or a Rice Krispie treat or something
like
that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right. So you were there on Wednesday at Magic Kingdom through the Main Street Electrical Parade. Did you stay for fireworks that day?
We did not stay for fireworks, no. Okay. I think we were all just pretty much beat. The kids were getting tired. I was tired. I was getting grumpy.
Yeah. I always say that that's the key tip. You got to listen to your body and listen to your kids. And when you're tired and cranky, it doesn't make – look, Wishes is wonderful, and I love that fireworks show, but – grumpy and cranky kids outranks beautiful fireworks any day of the week.
Well, we watched the Main Street Electrical Parade, and when I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was a gentleman from St. Louis that had been down there, and he had an experience trying to watch the parade and a family trying to bump in front of him and a gentleman next to him.
Right, right.
And the guy was just told him, you know, said no, you know, like waiting for an hour and a half or whatever. We had a similar experience, and I wasn't very vocal about it. And the end result was my son couldn't see the parade because of these people that, you know, jumped in front of us at the rope. And
oh, that's unfortunate.
So I was having to hold him the whole entire time, and he's not as little as he used to be. But,
right.
we enjoyed the parade, you know, the electrical parade, other than, you know, having people cut in front of you and just, you know, they felt entitled. I don't know, but it was, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience dealing with those people, to say the least.
All right. So you've got another non-Magic Kingdom Park Day coming on Thursday. What was the plan for Thursday?
Thursday was Hollywood Studios, and this was my third visit to Hollywood Studios, and it's one of my favorite parks down there. To me, there's a lot to do at Hollywood Studios, a variety of things to do, some fun rides. My favorite ride is there, but there's also, you know, a lot of different character interactions throughout the park, and you know, and lots of things to watch, shows to watch, like the Indiana Jones stunt show and the I can't think of the one with the stunt cars and everything.
Lights, Motors, Action.
Thank you. I was on the tip of my tongue, couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was Hollywood Studios was that day.
Okay, and so you got to Hollywood Studios. You didn't make rope drop any of the days. How close were you at Hollywood Studios?
Hollywood Studios wasn't close either, because we had on the advice of several friends, we did breakfast at Whispering Canyon over at Wilderness Lodge.
Oh, okay.
And I'd heard some stories from them about, you know, the interaction from the from the waiters and waitresses, you know, the staff there. I wasn't very impressed. Our service was about average, and so was the food there. And, you know, I'm not saying that I wouldn't try it again, but maybe at breakfast they just weren't awake. I don't know. But
I was just going to say, I think that they intentionally low-key it at breakfast, and they don't do a very good job of letting people know that ahead of time. But I think that it can be a really kind of frenetic experience, and I think that they've just sort of made the decision that at breakfast there are too many people who just aren't ready for that kind of experience yet.
Yeah, I hadn't had any coffee yet either, so maybe I wasn't in the mood for it. I don't know, but it was okay. The food was okay. Service was okay.
Yeah, I would encourage you to try it for dinner instead.
I will keep that in mind for a future visit. But I did enjoy walking around Wilderness Lodge and taking pictures of the lodge and some of the grounds there. We ended up going to, I believe, four other resorts besides our own and just kind of walking through, just touring different resorts, at least four, maybe more. But we got to Hollywood Studios. It was probably 10:30, 11 o'clock again before we actually got to Hollywood Studios.
Okay. And what did you set out to do there at Hollywood Studios?
Well, as soon as we walked in, as soon as we got through the gates, I took off over to Pixar Place to try to get our fast passes for Toy Story Mania, which is one of my kids' favorite rides there. On the last time we went there in 2010, we waited for almost 2 hours on there, and I didn't want to do that for any ride this time.
I don't blame you.
So I got the fast passes, and they happened to coincide with our dinner ADR that night.
Okay.
And after about 15 minutes of trying, I found someone who was standing around there, and they had a later ADR than I had, and they had four. I had four. We traded, and everybody was happy.
Oh, nice.
So that was about the only way we were going to get to ride the...
Well, here's a tip that you can use next time. If you have an ADR that conflicts with the fast pass time, go to your ADR and say and hang on to your receipt. If you bring, because the receipts are all time stamped, mm-hmm. and if you bring that receipt to the attraction with your fast passes, they'll let you use them late.
Wow.
But you've got to be able to, got to have that receipt that has the timestamp on it so that they, you know, can confirm that you were actually at an ADR and couldn't use your FastPass because of that.
Oh, I'm learning a lot on this podcast.
Well, that's all right. You know, the other people learn too. And you know, I'm sure there's somebody else listening to this who, you know, is getting ready to be in your shoes, you know, next week. So
excellent. Yeah, so we got our fast passes straightened out, and the first thing we did is we went and we rode the back lot tour, and we came out of that, and it was nice to have Mikey and Sully there for picture for a photo opportunity right when you come out of the ride.
Uh-huh.
We ended up doing lunch at the ABC commissary there, and it was pretty decent. Had a nice little Asian chicken salad for lunch. After that, we went to... I believe it's where the Animation Academy is. There were some character...
there's a nice character meet-and-greet area over there by Animation Academy.
Right. The kids loved Wreck-It Ralph, and they wanted their picture taken with Ralph and Vanellope. And when that was over, my daughter and I went to go ride our favorite roller coaster and probably our favorite white ride, Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster, down there.
Uh-huh.
We weren't able to get a fast pass for it because we had already had one for something else at the park. So we stood in line for about 90 minutes in the rain while my son and my wife were in there learning how to draw Donald Duck at the Animation Academy. So they took advantage of being dry, and they also, while they were doing that, they went over to the Great Movie Ride while we were in line as well.
Okay.
And, of course, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster, it's always, you know, it was a long wait without a fast pass, but it's just an incredible ride. Just, you know, going from, you know, from 0 to 60 in, 2.8 seconds, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it's a very exhilarating ride, and plus I like Aerosmith too, so that helps have a good sound. It's just a good soundtrack while you're riding.
It is, and I got to say, you know, for all the criticism I've had over the years for Rock and Roller Coaster, it still is one of the smoothest roller coasters that does inversions that I've ever ridden.
Yeah, I enjoy it. And go ahead.
Oh no, so. You were down at that end. You did Rock and Roller Coaster. Are you guys Tower of Terror fans too?
We did Tower of Terror. It was my son, his first time on Tower of Terror, and he came out of there and he thought it was just the greatest thing ever. Yeah, that was, and I think this is my kid's favorite park too, simply because of Tower of Terror and the Indiana Jones stunt show. My son especially, he liked that one. So after we got off of Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster, the rain stopped. And the wife had gone and bought ponchos for everybody at that point in time, which mine is still sealed in the bag and never put it on. And it'll be ready for the next trip, just in case.
Exactly. So was there anything at Hollywood Studios that you really wanted to do but you were not able to get to because of you know, the lines and the time you arrived?
Well, I would have liked to have had, you know, another chance to ride Aerosmith's Rock and Roller Coaster or Tower of Terror again, but we got through about everything. We had an ADR at dinner at the Sci-Fi Dine-In Theater. The atmosphere was really neat and unique to it. My only complaint was I felt the booths I felt very claustrophobic in there.
Uh-huh.
And that was just me, but the food was good. We had a steak and it was good, and the dessert was good as well. But I was feeling very claustrophobic, and they put another family in the same car as us behind us, and I was feeling, I don't know, I just felt very strange, very very
Yeah, it's a little odd. It's, you know, it's one thing that you're supposed to be imagining that you're, you know, sitting in a car at the drive-in theater. It's another when, you know, you have your neighbor sitting in the back seat of your car. Just would feel odd. I can see that.
Yeah, it was, you know, I didn't have an issue at Beer Garden with sitting at a table with these other people. You know, it was in a more open area as opposed to in here. We were just really very, very close together. It was tough on me for that. And but, you know, it was neat, you know, watching the, you know, the old campy, you know, 1950s, you know, science fiction movies and, you know, sound bites and everything on the screen. That was neat. That was different.
Sure. And did you stay for the nighttime entertainment that night, or you were busy on Toy Story at that point?
Unfortunately, we didn't stay. My wife, her ankle was hurting her, and we ended up leaving before Fantasmic started that night.
Okay.
And she wanted to get back to the room and rest because we had another day at the park tomorrow. So
right.
we probably ended up leaving around 8:30 or 9, I'd say.
Yeah.
from the park. We didn't stay for Fantasmic.
So you've got one last partial park day before you head out, and you had decided earlier to go back to Magic Kingdom and sort of, you know, I like to call that the cleanup day. You know, you go to kind of clean up the things that you didn't get a chance to get to when you were in the park earlier. So did you have any particular things that you wanted to make sure you checked out since this was your cleanup day, your day to catch up on the things you'd missed?
Well, the only thing that I wanted to do was to try to get over to Adventureland and Frontierland, just cause we didn't get to do it on Wednesday when we were there.
Sure.
What we ended up doing that morning is we got up and we checked out probably around 8:30 or so. And we drove over to the Contemporary and ate at the Contempo Cafe there, and then just took the and parked at the Contemporary, and then took the monorail over to the Magic Kingdom.
Sure.
Which is, you know, nice in and out of there. I guess our biggest accomplishment of the day is we managed to ride Space Mountain 3 times that day, and plus we got in the other 2 mountains while we were there as well.
Nice.
And I was surprised that we were able to squeeze it all in. We spent very little time in Fantasyland this time. Actually, we just went over there and ate lunch that day over at the Pinocchio Village House. We had one quick service meal left on our plan and chose to use it there.
Sure.
That afternoon. A couple of things that we didn't get to do was we didn't get to do Tom Sawyer's Island.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't get to go into Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, which I was hoping we would have had time to do. But, you know, hey, we did, you know, squeeze in 3 mountains and Space Mountain 3 times, the other 2 mountains on top of that. So
sure.
I guess I couldn't complain too much about that. And the wife wanted Dole Whip, and I was still in the commando mode to get out of there, and we didn't get Dole Whip this trip. But
that was a mortal sin there.
Well, you know, I'll be honest, Aaron. I've learned a lot since this trip. I didn't join Diz Dads until after this trip.
Oh, okay.
So I'm learning, and I learned a lot of things from you guys on the boards and through your podcast as well that I need to do on our next trips.
We'll get you coached up. all right. So you had a really, you know, sounds like a nice, full, fun 4 days in the parks. Looking back at that trip, is there maybe one thing that you didn't get to and you're really disappointed that you missed out on, you're really looking forward to catching up on next time?
The only thing that I can think of right offhand, besides a lot of the restaurants that some guys have, especially Ohana, that seems to be the choice, and Cape May as well. I would like to get the rope drop at Magic Kingdom, and I would like to be able to stay all the way through Wishes just so I can kind of check that off the list of things to do and
sure.
things that I've done. And, of course, you know, the next time as well, you know, spend more time at Epcot because I'm really fascinated by the whole entire park. You know, Soaring is such a fun ride, and the kids loved it. And, you know, and I wish we had had a chance to get through all of the World Pavilion. We didn't. We missed, I think, three countries out of it. Actually, we were kind of skipping around a little bit.
Sure.
But just to spend more time at Epcot on the next trip.
Okay. And then, if you had to pick, you know, maybe two or three highlights of your 4-day trip, what would you say were the big standouts?
The big standout, well, Beer Garden was one, and seeing my son ride Space Mountain for the first time, and him he came off and he just loved it, and just getting to experience the park with him, where he's going to be old enough to remember it, because his previous visit there he was only 4 and he doesn't remember a whole lot from that trip at this point, but I think now he'll have some good memories of this trip, I think. After we left, and I was sad. we weren't out of the park a few hours, and we're talking about future trips. And it's you know, my wife and I, Aaron, we've been married for almost 17 years. It'll be 17 years here in a couple weeks, but this has added, we've always been, you know, similar enough to relate and different enough to interest each other, but this has just added a whole new thing for us to talk about and to plan on. And it's I don't want to say it's changed our marriage, but it's brightened up a lot in our marriage now. And you know, we have some new goals as far as, you know, vacationing and spending time together and the kids, you know, and you know, things to do with them. And It's changed a lot of things for us, you know, this last trip to Disney, as strange as that might sound.
It doesn't sound strange at all, because I'm right there with you. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your trip experience with us. Hopefully we'll be able to have you back again sometime soon.
Aaron, thank you for having me on. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for joining us on The Dad Show. We'll be back on Sunday with the panel show, continuing our Munch Madness dining series.
A little spark of inspiration is at the heart of all creation, right at the start of everything that's new. One little spark lights up for you. Oh, hello there. So glad you could come along. I am the Dream Finder. Musical notes, what delightful melodies those will make. I love these flights of fancy, searching the countryside for sounds, colors, ideas, anything that sparks the imagination. A sunbeam, that's a good one. Everything that I can collect can inspire amazing and marvelous new ideas. And you never know what kind of figment you may come up with. Here's my favorite. Tiny wings, eyes big and yellow, horns of a steer, but a lovable fella. From head to tail, he's royal purple pigment, and there, voila, you've got a figment of imagination.